you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 25th, 2019, and I'm going to have to throttle way back because I am so excited to share these two dear friends, probably my most recent special friends that God brought into my life. I guess about 6 or 7, maybe 8 months ago. We'll talk a little about that in just a moment, but you're in for a real treat. And if you wonder, where is Pastor Jason Schiffo? He's always co-host on Friday. Well, he had very successful surgery yesterday, and he's healing up. He's doing better. His surgery had to do with that cataract that developed in his eye. Even though he's in his 40s, it came out of kind of nowhere, and it was causing blurriness and such. Well, he got it taken care of. He's healing up and mending. But as only God could orchestrate and bring things together, these two special friends showed up. They were a part of the D.C. trip when we went to Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, and they happened to drive in and give some special gifts to Esther and Holly and me. 2 dozen donuts to me. Oh, man. Krispy Kreme delights are happening here at the Great News Radio Center. I'm very blessed. And these two, I don't know, what would you say? We just had instant chemistry or camaraderie.
Yes.
I think this was some months back, maybe in February, March, or April, we had a special Israel night. And so I think I was announcing that over the air.
Yes.
And you guys drove in to have some more questions answered or figure out what's going on. So maybe I'll let you describe it. But with me in the studio is Jerry and Brenda Baldwin. They live in the Mount Zion area. I know you guys drive to Bloomington to attend church. And I don't know, we just really hit it off that evening. And maybe you can explain, you were coming in here to find out more information about that Israel night. And so you came to the Great News Radio Center here, drove all the way in from Mount Zion. Now, were you retired at that point yet?
No.
You were in the process. So what was going on in your life? You were a hairdresser at the time, right? And still are.
Yes, yes. With a very ill, sick mother, had promised Jerry that when I lost my mother, which was May the 2nd, that I would absolutely retire and we could go travel. So in the process, we met Mark. Jerry and I both just fell in love with Mark and Holly and Esther, the whole family, and decided to go to the Washington, D.C. trip with him.
And that was because you were here for the Israel night, but you overheard me coordinating some details, and you said, hey, what's going on? When are you doing Washington, D.C.? So next thing I know, I says, I think we have two more going, but we might be on a waiting list at this point. I think you were one of the last few that signed on, so that was kind of neat.
It was. So then we just went on the trip, and it was just pure heaven. We can't wait to go with Mark and Holly again on our next trip.
In our English conversation class yesterday, some were asking about the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, and I thought, well, maybe we could coordinate something still. I don't know if it'd be this year or early next year or the spring. And a couple of the Chinese students that are in Nancy Miller's Bible study, it's an overview of the Bible, learning English through a Bible study, they were asking, well, how's evolution work out? How did that happen? Because you're saying God created everything. I thought it was through evolution. And so they had many lively discussions about that, and then Nancy Miller said, have you ever been to the Creation Museum? And they said, no, but we're really interested in going, so we might coordinate that. I'll be looking at some quotes, and if you include the Creation Museum along with the Ark Encounter, and that's the life-size Noah Ark, it's like a whole museum, and there's a petting zoo and other things, then you usually have to stay in overnight. And so I think last time we did it was like $125. I'm not sure exactly, but we'll see if we can put that together in the coming days. Anyway, so you know, you've asked about, are there other events or gatherings or trips, including Israel? And I said, we're working on that too. But Jerry, you have been retired for a period of time. How long?
5 years.
5 years.
Well, I spent 29 years at A.E. Staley Manufacturing Company, and then 18 years at ADM. So finally at 73, Brenda said, it's time to quit.
Time to quit.
And I give it up.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've been very active, and
oh, yes.
you love your church, and
yes.
you love sharing your faith. I know, Brenda, on the trip, you were yeah. like this ball of energy that went around, kind of like a hostess. You just cared for this person, hugged this person, encouraged this person. Yeah. I couldn't get you up in front. Usually, I'm pretty persistent in getting whoever I want to speak and share. She goes, no, that's just not my thing. I'm more one-on-one. I love yeah. people. I love to be around people, but... before a microphone on a bus, that's not my forte or desire. But I got you into the studio, and you have a special faith journey story on how God, I like to say how God wooed you to himself, how God woos all of us, because oftentimes we recognize we're sinners, we're fallen, we don't measure up, we're not great people. Even the best of us, we've fallen short, and yet you knew that God was pursuing you and loving on you. Can you walk us through a little of your faith journey?
Well, my best friend was like a grandmother, and she took me to church at the age of 6, and we just really bonded. And then I had the most wonderful, greatest mom and dad, and a twin sister, a brother, and another sister. And then my other sister was killed at 14 when I was 14. So it really straightened my life up in the sense of knowing that life is very, very short. So I met my wonderful husband at 16 and got married at 17, two babies by 19. And then I really, to me, in my heart, as he said, I got saved at the age of 22. And I mean, I have literally walked with Jesus ever since. And it's just my love for people. I love, love people. I love being with them. I love doing for them. I've been a hairdresser for 55 years. And I still love being with people. I go to the nursing homes to visit. That I enjoy. But I love the trip. I met some great, great people that I want to stay in contact with on this trip. And it's just kind of my life now.
You mentioned meeting Jerry when you were like 16.
Yes.
So how long have you been married?
56 years.
56 years. Wow, yes. That's tremendous. That's wonderful.
And my daddy would not let me marry him because I was so young. He's 5 years older. And so we were literally, like a Bible story, separated for one solid year. We never seen each other for a year. And then daddy told him if he loved me, he could come back and marry me. And he did.
Wow.
That's our love story.
Now, Jerry, at the time, did you just see this little beautiful blonde hair? Like, what was the initial attraction?
This is my wife, to me.
Okay, so you knew that you knew right away.
I knew it right away. Wow. Her dad told me, no, you're not going to do it. You stay away from her for a year. If you still love her, you can marry her.
Wow.
So I went to California for a year, come back, and married her.
Wow. And that's our love story.
56 years. Yes.
The best move I ever made in my life.
Yeah. Many of us say we married up or God gave us a precious gift or whatever. Yeah. Now, did you grow up in a Christian home? Did you have a faith journey started at that early age?
I was raised in a Baptist church.
Okay.
My mother had us in church 3 times a week. But like everyone, I can't say everyone, a lot of people, I fell by the wayside.
Sure.
After watching Brenda for years and years and years, I decided at a revival I wanted Jesus in my life. I accepted him as my Savior and received the Holy Ghost that night. And another excellent thing in my life happened.
Well, that would probably give many people listening in hope that the influence that a spouse can have. Many times it's a wife that is following the Lord and mirrors that Christ-like love and that example, and even some of the biblical mentions about let your witness be through your actions, through continuing to love your husband or your spouse. I know some of the singing men have that same story, that their wife continued to pray for her husband and continued to remain faithful in the marriage, and that finally broke the husband or softened his heart, or he saw the difference and wanted that, and it became attractive. So
after seeing her so happy for all them years, I realized I've got to have this.
He really knew he was missing something, so that's why I just encouraged him. But as far as the husband, the greatest heart in the world, and the most wonderful, wonderful father and daddy. And I knew it was there, and I just had to keep pushing, and I did.
Yeah, and you helped cultivate it,
yes,
too.
Yes, I did.
Because when you two came into the studio, I don't know, that 7 or 8 months ago when we first met, I thought, what a lovely couple. And you were side by side and sharing and talking about future travels and other things. And I thought, what a great marriage, a great couple. Let me dig a little deeper into your testimony, Brenda, because you know, somebody is maybe listening and they've lost a loved one. And in your case, a sister at a young age, that had to leave a void and a why, God? How did God help bring healing or hope? Or how did you trust him? Because you could say, God, why did you allow something like that to happen? Did you work through that at a young age or later on? You have a pretty mature faith to accept such a tragic loss and yet to still be so vibrant and trusting God today.
Well, my sister was actually murdered. Mm. And my father had these other children, you know, all the rest of us. And he wanted to go after whoever did it. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we've never found out who did it. But in my heart, even at that young age, I was just taught up until then that God has his way. And so we loved her. She was fabulous, wonderful. She was our little cook. Her and mom was so close. But it showed me that you just never hold grudges against anybody for anything. That you have to... It broke my daddy down really, really bad. But mother was so strong during the time. But it just showed me that God has his reasoning for everything, and that's the trust we got to go to. And you can get better or bitter, and I decided I would get much better. I would show love to people that were having problems and tell myself constantly, like I do to Jerry today, I'm not their judge. I'm not judging nobody. That's God's call. And I just want to show love and kindness to everybody. Mm. That's just my calling. It always has been. Mm-hmm. And all the people that I've dealt with, I love it. I've been involved in all their lives from the day they were born. The day I did them until they died.
Yeah, this is with your beauty,
hair. Yes, and, 30 years I had my shop. And Jerry has always been involved with all my women. They had flat tires. Their cars wouldn't start. And he went and got them all for me. He loved them as much as I did. They adored him. They still do. So Jerry and I have a love story. And it just continues every single day of our life. We have so much fun together. And I think that's what marriage should be. Yeah. All the ups and downs, we've had plenty. But it's not going to take my joy. My joy is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that. I think I've shared this a time or two in past programs, and I think even recently, but I have that same mindset that God is sovereign.
Yes.
I mean, he is either sovereign or he's not. He's either totally in control or he's not.
That's right.
That's very simple. It's black and white in my mindset. And the fact that I truly believe he's sovereign and nothing can happen outside of his permissive will.
That's right.
That doesn't mean he encourages evil to happen or he orchestrates evil things to happen. But in his permissive will, in his sovereignty, he does allow some terrible things to take place. It doesn't mean he was out of control or he was surprised by him, but because of the fallen state of this world and because there's sin in it, murders can happen, tragedies, stillborn children. I can't even fathom what a woman would go through having a stillborn child. That, to me, is like one of the worst things that could happen, to be excited about life and then to find out the child has died.
Right.
And many other things. I mean, abusive situations and things that are horrendous. They're hideous. They're just terrible.
That's right.
But even in the midst of the worst that can happen, we have this loving, sovereign God that can work through it, that can bring hope and healing, that can be trusted. Yes, there's uncertainty. Yes, sometimes we don't understand things, but we're only looking at a little sliver of life or an event, as bad as it could be, that is like a breath when you think of all eternity to have with him, where there's healing and hope and ultimate purpose being in his presence. So I so appreciate you sharing that about your beloved sister, and even the fact that your father, who was a God-fearing man, grieved, and God allows grieving. You know, the Psalms are filled with David crying out, though my mother and father forsake me, Lord, I know you don't. And God allows our emotions, and he wants us to express when we're angry, when we're upset. He doesn't want us to just shelter it or bottle it up.
I believe that God allows certain things to happen in your life to test your faith. And it's not that he wants to see you hurt, but he wants your love. He wants your respect.
There's those verses about it, the testing of our faith. Because if everything just worked out went wonderfully, you wouldn't have to have faith. And it's through sometimes suffering and pain and heartache that we draw our strength from him or we turn to him. Yeah. You know, if we're become so self-sufficient, why do we even need God?
Right.
And so it's sometimes through the tragedy, it's that refining process. Some would call it that sanctification process where, you know, we go from our fallen, self-centered state to relinquishing control and saying, okay, God, take over. Lord, help me through this. Lord, I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm hurting. You know, fill that void. And that's where that intimacy with God becomes not only real, but healing and wonderful and, you know, what we live for. And like you were saying, Brenda, you love to exhibit God's love and care and compassion to others because you've received it firsthand.
That's right. That's right. And the sweetest, greatest mother that God could ever put on this earth. She had nothing. She raised five children. And I never saw anybody that loved her kids and grandchildren and great-grandchildren as much as my mother. And she adored my husband. And Jerry has been the best father in the world. And he never had a father. So that really got to me in his joy in sharing the kids in everything. I mean, we never had a babysitter. We worked different shifts, and he did everything, probably more than I did at times, because he had a stronger stomach. but it was just a joy. And then we had six fabulous, wonderful years of raising our little grandson, keeping him, and he's the delight of our life. He always will be. And it was sad. He had to go to school. But that's our life.
But isn't it sweet or special or unique how God brought both of you together to complement each other, to be that perfect fit, that special relationship that, in a sense, models the Godhead. I always thought it was so fascinating when people talked about in the Godhead, love existed because there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of a mystery because they're one, but they're three. But because there was distinct personalities, if you will, love could exist in that Godhead. And I always think that's just so neat how God experienced love for Jesus and how all three of them had that unique relationship. And we as humans, especially in the marital relationship, can kind of model that same kind of love that God had. And we can love one another and we can love God and we can love our spouse. And so you exhibit that very well. So I'm so grateful for your 56 years and can't wait to spend some more years with you down the road, get you up to 60 and 65 and 70 years together.
Sounds good.
Well, before we close out the program, I did want to mention a couple neat events. Maybe you'll be at one or both of these because you guys like to travel and be together in the car. But Sunday night, so just 2 days away from tonight, at 6 p.m. at Penn Station in Arthur, Illinois, it's 122 East Progress Way. The Singing Men of GNN, along with the Hershberger family, are putting on a concert. So we'll open up with the Hershberger family. They do bluegrass. If you've been in and around the Arthur or Arcola area, they're pretty famous. They're very gifted. It's a family that plays a lot of bluegrass and their various instruments. They'll be opening up the evening. Then the Singing Men, around 6:20 or so, will get on stage. And then we'll sing a couple arrangements together. So it'll be a fun sing-along. we'll have like a hymn sing at one point, and then a number of selections by the singing men of GNN. So that'll be 6 p.m. this Sunday night at Penn Station in Arthur, 122 East Progress Way. It's like in downtown Arthur, right near the railroad tracks. It's near the police station, and there's a lot of parking, but the Penn Station is off of the main road, Progress Way, but lots of accommodations. I think it can seat 400 or 500 people. So come on out. It's a free concert, but there will be a love offering taken, and so we invite you. That's Sunday night, 6 p.m. And then on Monday, and what's fun about Monday, Monday night's the Singing Men rehearsal night, and so we'll have our rehearsal from 7 to 9. So men, if you love to sing and declare the wonders of God, you can come on out to the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy and rehearse with us. But when rehearsal is done at 9 o'clock, the Singing Men are going to all go over to Jarlene's Custard Cup on Kirby Avenue, because anytime from noon to 10 p.m. this Monday night, October 28th, 20% of all your purchases at Jarlene's, as long as you mention Great News Radio, will be donated back to the station. So when the rehearsal is done, all the Singing Men are going to go over there, and I'm going to say, get a lot of ice cream, guys. But at noontime, if you need an afternoon snack or midday or dinner time, if you go to Jarlene's Custard Cup on Kirby Avenue in Champaign between noon and 10 p.m. on Monday, 20% of your purchases, as long as you mention Great News Radio, will be donated back to the station. So kind of a fun way to support the radio ministry, have some ice cream, and enjoy the world's greatest listeners, because hopefully there'll be a bunch of listeners there all day from noon to 10 p.m. But the Singing Men will probably arrive around 9:15 or 9:30 before it closes. So who knows, maybe we'll even sing a song or two for those that are in line. But come on out to the Custard Cup on Monday, and hopefully we can see you this Sunday at Penn Station in Arthur, Illinois, for a 6 p.m. concert with the Singing Men of GNN and the Hirschberger family. Well, you guys did great. No notice. I pulled them into the studio with Pastor Jason healing up. I said, Lord, who are you going to provide? And don't you know, he always does. And so,
one thing before you leave,
sure.
We appreciated all the beautiful people that went on the Washington trip, especially your brother, Stu.
Stu.
I don't remember his wife's name.
Trista.
She was lovely, too.
They were great. And he'll be listening to this, so his ears are ringing. All right, they're waving at you, Stu and Trista. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.